coming up on KSDP News. Your update on the number of Alaskan coronavirus cases, and how the supply chain is coping with panic buying amid COVID-19 fears. Stay tuned. Salutations! I'm Holden Feldbauer, and you're listening to KSDP 830 AM Sandpoint. The date is Monday, March 23rd, 2020, and we've got some local news coming your way. City, borough, and state governments in Alaska have stepped up efforts over the past couple of weeks to allow more employees to work from home to reduce the chance of spreading the novel coronavirus. But as KUAC's Tim Ellis reports, almost all of the 5,000 or so Alaskans who work on military installations must still show up at their workplaces.
As Alaska's local and state governments scramble to figure out ways to allow more employees to work online from home, the federal government, one of the state's largest employers, hasn't made much progress.
There's very few.
John Pinnell is a spokesperson for U.S. Army Alaska.
I mean, we have plans in place for teleworking. But at this point, that's one of the things that we're holding in reserve in case the situation gets worse.
USARAC is the largest Alaska-based Army command, and it's headquartered at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson, along with the Alaskan Command, the state's largest Air Force organization. Spokespersons for the Alaskan Command and a higher headquarters say the Air Force also has only a few military and civilian personnel working from home right now. And Pinnell says it's not easy for the military to enable more employees to work from home.
Right now, our main focus is to ensure the continuing safety and health of our soldiers, their families, and our civilian workforce, while at the same time staying ready to respond to any situation that the nation requires.
Pinnell said in an interview last week that the military's highest priority is maintaining readiness to respond to threats, and that mainly comes in the conventional form of a military armed force. But he says the Army will adapt its operations as needed, including, if necessary, allowing more personnel to work from home.
We are continuing to monitor the situation, not only here in Alaska, but nationwide and worldwide. And as things develop, we're prepared to adapt and change the way we do business if we need to.
Air Force spokespersons said in emails last week that the Alaskan Command is making bandwidth available to personnel who are working from home, and it's reviewing plans to ensure, quote, connectivity and capability are maintained if teleworking is more broadly implemented. An Air Force contractor employee at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson says she wishes that would happen so she could telework.
I can't work from home. It's going to be a problem for the company. It's a lot of stuff that they need to set up. We just don't have like our own laptops and stuff like that.
Patricia Ryan works for a contractor that arranges official travel for J-Bear's military and civilians, and she says besides the technical limitations, she can't do her job over the phone or online because much of it requires FaceTime with customers.
We need to see them in person and see their orders, so it's not something that we can really just say, okay, we will book it on the phone because we can't do that.
But Ryan said in an interview last week that some aspects of her job had already changed because of concerns over the spread of coronavirus. Those include scrambling to cancel or rescheduled customers' reservations in response to the military's ban on almost all travel for at least the next few weeks.
So right now they can't leave until like May. So even if they have to report to their new duty station, they can't do that.
Ryan says because of that, business slowed down late last week, and she says she and her coworkers now have something else to worry about besides the coronavirus, and that is getting laid off. In Delta, I'm Tim Ellis.
Health officials identified 10 new cases of COVID-19 in Alaska on Sunday, bringing the statewide total to 32. Seven of the new cases are in Anchorage, two in the Matanuska-Susitna borough, and one in Juneau. One of the Anchorage cases had recently traveled outside of Alaska, said a statement from the Alaska Department of Health and Social Services. The remaining cases are not known to be travel-related at this time and are under investigation, the statement also said. At least two of the new Anchorage cases have no clearly identified contact with a confirmed case, Dr. Joe McLaughlin, Alaska's state epidemiologist, said in the statement. This indicates that the community transmission of COVID-19 appears to be occurring in the Anchorage area, he said. Anchorage Mayor Ethan Berkowitz issued an emergency hunkerdown order on Friday, asking residents to minimize social contact and limit movement in the state's largest city to essential errands in an effort to slow the spread of the virus. The order goes into effect Sunday at 10 p.m. and extends through March 31st. Governor Mike Dunleavy has also closed all public and private schools to students through at least May 1st. In Juneau, beginning Monday, many travelers coming to the city will be required to self-quarantine for 14 days. The number of known coronavirus cases has continued to grow each day in Alaska. The first known case was announced on March 12th. A cargo pilot stopping in Anchorage tested positive for COVID-19. According to Sunday's statement, all of the 10 new cases are in adults and none of them have been hospitalized. They are isolating at home and their close contacts are being asked to quarantine for 2 weeks. The state section of epidemiology is investigating these cases in cooperation with Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson, the Anchorage Health Department, and local public health nurses, according to the statement. COVID-19 cases have now been identified in 8 Alaska communities, including Anchorage, Fairbanks, Ketchikan, Seward, Sterling, Soldotna, Juneau, and the Mat-Su Borough. By Saturday, there had been more than 950 COVID-19 test kits completed for Alaska residents, according to the health department. The state budget that the Senate is scheduled to debate today includes a $1,000 permanent fund dividend. Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman proposed the $1,000 during a Senate Finance Committee meeting on Saturday. He says spending more would leave the state less prepared for future budget problems caused by the sharp drops in oil prices and the Alaska Permanent Fund's value.
I don't think this is going to be a 2 or 3 or 4 month issue.
The committee passed the proposal, but they rejected a proposal from Anchorage Democratic Senator Bill Wilichowski that would have paid out another emergency $1,000 dividend in June. He wanted to tap into the permanent fund's earnings to help workers and businesses affected by COVID-19.
We've often referred to the permanent fund as the rainy day fund. Mr. Chairman, it is raining. It is pouring. Alaskans are suffering. I'm worried for the people in my district. I represent a district with many low-income, working-class people.
Anchorage Republican Senator Natasha Von Imhoff voted against both proposals.
I think to pay a large dividend at this point has serious fiscal consequences, and I would rather focus on paying stimulus money and COVID-19 associated money directly to the people who truly need it in regards to food security, which we heard today, energy assistance, supplemental unemployment benefits.
If the legislature ultimately approves the $1,000 dividend, it will be the lowest amount since 2013. It's not clear if lawmakers will approve more funding for COVID-19 relief, but nonpartisan legislative budget analysts project that if the legislature were to combine a $1,000 dividend with $300 million in COVID-19 spending, the state would have to make an unplanned draw from the permanent fund earning reserve for the first time. The House passed its version of this bill earlier this month. Once the Senate passes it, the House would either have to agree to the Senate's change, or the bill will be sent to a conference committee to hash out their differences. Senators say the session could last a few more days. Surrounded by shipping executives at the Port of Alaska Sunday morning, Anchorage Mayor Ethan Berkowitz had one message.
I just wanted you to know what you're seeing and hearing is a normal Sunday at the Port of Alaska. And all this is possible because the supply lines are intact and operating the way they're supposed to.
This message comes as stores struggle to keep up with skyrocketing demand for products during the COVID-19 pandemic. Demand is high, but Berkowitz says supply is steady. Shipments that stock Alaska stores continue to flow into the state without any problems every Sunday and Tuesday, as scheduled. A spokesperson for Matson, the shipping company, said that twice-weekly shipments to Kodiak and once-weekly shipments to Dutch Harbor will continue as well. And shipments by air continue uninterrupted as well, according to David Karp, who manages a family of companies including Northern Air Cargo. He says cargo is moving as scheduled, and Alaskans, particularly in rural areas, can rely on the current infrastructure that's in place.
In some cases, if there's a silver lining, the reduction in passenger travel to bush destinations has actually created more capacity for mail and freight to move. So things are moving by air for all of you folks off the road system.
Representatives also discussed safety protocols that companies are implementing, including keeping crew members on ships and limiting anyone who boards ships to, quote, essential personnel, in order to lessen interaction between crew members and the community. Anchorage's hunker down order took effect Sunday night at 10 p.m. and asked people to stay at home as much as possible. But, at least when it comes to shopping, Berkowitz's message to Alaskans is to, quote, stay chill.
In those 600 containers are containers that include the toilet paper that people seem to be hoarding. You don't need to do that any longer. You didn't need to do that at all.
Berkowitz says it's time for people to return to their normal buying habits and try not to buy more than needed, so other people can have access to products as well. And that's the news from Sandpoint. I'm Holden Feldbauer, and you're listening to KSDP 830 AM. Find us online at aapradio.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.